Become a CITR member and make some new friends. Members get discounts on Commercial Drive at Audiopile, Bomber Brewing, Bone Rattle Music, High Life Records, Jean Queen Clothing, Mintage Clothing, Pandora's Box Rehearsal Studios, People's Co-op Bookstore, and Storm Crow Tavern. What would we do without our friends?
Discorder Magazine has been supporting local music for over 30 years. Thanks to the long-term support of the Rickshaw Theater, Discorder lives. Your favorite bands are playing at the Rickshaw Theater. Check out their calendar just behind the cover of Discorder Magazine or at rickshawtheater.com.
You've been troubled, you've been broke, you've been hungry, no job, no money. The one you love has deserted you. That makes you blue.
Got the blues? Just want to hear some blues? Tune in every Saturday afternoon from 3 to 5 for Code Blue. Right here on CITR 101.9 FM Vancouver, www.citr.ca. Code Blue.
Here's how he feels about it. Blues ain't nothing but a man, good man feeling bad, no how. That's all that is.
Hempology 101 is a student-run organization here to educate the public about the benefits of hemp and cannabis. Fast fact! Hemp is a renewable, sustainable source of food and fiber. Fast fact! Your body contains anandamide, which is part of the same family of substances as THC. To learn more, look us up on Facebook at www.facebook.com/groups/hempology101UBC or come to one of our great events. And don't forget, legalization through education.
Hello, hello, hello. You're listening to the CITR 101.9 FM from unceded Musqueam territory at UBC Vancouver. My name is Simon Welton, and coming up in the next half hour is, as always, the White Noise Show. It's a half hour of sketch comedy, followed by the White Noise After Show, which is a mixture of commentary and music. Just whatever we feel like, and the commentary, pretty well whatever we feel like too. This week I'm joined by Sierra Wiley, who's a regular actress on the show. How are you doing, Sierra?
I constantly switch genders, actually, so you could call me either one, really.
Well, no, but now, isn't it that both are male and female
really?
Actors? Are,
I didn't
are just
know.
Yeah, because at the Oscars it's female actor now, it's not for actress.
Oh, I've just been educated. I'm doing well. How are you, Simon?
I'm just mansplaining to you.
Oh, yes, thank you. Why don't you manspread while you're at it?
Oh, charming. Okay, so yeah, without further ado, we're going to do some sketch comedy and then stay tuned for the White Noise After Show. See you very soon.
Warning, the following programming contains adult subject matter and some strong language. It is a work of satirical fiction. All characters and advertisements are completely fabricated. Listener discretion is advised.
Good evening and welcome to another episode of White Noise. I'm your host, Richard Blackmore, and tonight's episode is brought to you in part by Low Tar Cigarettes, for those who want to die more slowly. First up tonight, someone wants a present.
Did you do your Christmas shopping yet?
Maybe.
Did you get me something special?
Possibly.
Is it something that's expensive if you get a big one?
Yes.
Is it kind of rock-like?
Yep.
And some girls will do anything for one?
Ooh, you might be right.
And it comes from a war-torn country where people are enslaved for their production?
Absolutely.
Oh, Ted, you're the best.
Well, I know what my girl likes, and I can assure you, it's the nicest crack rock I could find.
I've never smoked crack, but I've licked a few.
Next up tonight is a movie preview.
From the people who brought you 12 Years a Welfare Recipient, Million Dollar Vegetable, and Precious Gets Her Groove Back, comes the new sequel you never knew we needed, Schindler's List 2.
Finally, I can rest. PTO? What's PTO? Oh my god, there were names on the other side of the paper!
Schindler's List 2, The Backside. A Redbox exclusive. Schindler's List could have been a lot shorter if Liam Neeson had been using some of the skills he learned from Taken. Next up tonight, Carl and Neil are back! Well, at least Neil is.
Come on, Carl! Open the door! I swear it's the last time I'm ever gonna pork your mum! Come on! I even bought your favourite magazine, French Vogue! Remember how I used to take it behind a big bush in the park? Remember the good old days?
He's not in.
Who the hell are you?
I'm Carl's sister, Carlene.
I should have known. You've got the same mustache as your mum.
Oh no, Carl is dead jealous.
Where is he? I made him his dinner an hour ago. His pedigree chum is getting well cold.
Dunno. I haven't seen him since his last court date.
He told me he's been staying here.
You two having marital problems?
We are not married. We are just sharing a single bed till we get rich. Then we're going to buy a king size. Plus, he's got the key to my chastity belt. I'm dying for a wee.
Well, I don't know where he is. He owes me 50 quid.
What for?
He said it was for your birthday present.
The only thing he gave me for my birthday was lice.
Oh, gross. Head lice.
Actually, it was pubic.
Oh, well, that's not so bad then. Everybody's got them, right?
Well, yeah, if you're just counting this house.
So you don't know where he is?
Well, there's only a few possibilities. He's not that imaginative.
Oh, let me come with you.
No, there's no need to worry.
Not worried about that, twat. He owes me 50 quid and a bottle of ice cream.
It might be here. We used to live in this place.
Both of you? Looks a little cramped.
Nah, this is actually one of the more roomier porta-potties.
Occupied.
Hey, mate, is there another man in there with you?
None of your business.
Is his name Carl?
It's Jeff, actually.
Never mind, carry on.
Why would he be in a slaughterhouse?
This is where he had his first date.
What? Why here?
He said he had a Groupon, and the girl was really into, you know, animals, so he thought it'd be nice. You know, she was in that group, Peter.
Always wanted to join them. They're the funniest videos.
Carl! Carl, where the fuck are you?
He's not here.
Come on, mate, come home. I promise to let you have the TV remote tonight. This time I'll even put the batteries in.
Why are my feet so wet?
It's probably all the blood. No, wait. That looks like urine. Yeah, it's fresh. Let me taste it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Neil was here. Approximately 2 hours ago, based on the temperature.
I hope someday someone will know my urine that well. Why are we bothering me mum at work?
Because he sometimes comes hangs out with her.
Yeah, but if a pimp sees us, he'll go ballistic.
He'll be fine. Look, there she is in that forward focus. Come on. Actually, she looks a bit busy.
Bloody hell. Oh, I knew she was a professional, but that is impressive.
Yeah, see how she's using the ceiling for leverage? Jeez, I guess she saves the best for the paying customers.
I never realised my family was that talented.
Well, if he's not here, I give up.
An old women's gym?
He likes to hide in the walls. See, round the back here. He gets in through the hole. After you.
It's a bit of a squeeze.
I'll just push your tits up like I'm doing.
It's still tight.
It is not. I'm fine. And my tits are way bigger than yours.
Oh my god, it stinks.
Yeah, he was definitely here.
Guess a bit wider here. Oh, phew, that's better.
Fuck, he's not here.
Ah, well, guess we give up then. So, what now?
You know, in this light, with that mustache, you look like your mother.
Then what are you waiting for?
Nom, 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 nom.
if you have seen young Carl Weathers, please call his mom. And if not, still, call her, mention my name, and she'll give you a good discount. Next up tonight, Santa's knackered.
Okay, boss, the sleigh is ready. We had to replace Rudolph, though. That malignant tumor in his nose was getting worse, and the chemo isn't helping.
But how will I guide the sleigh?
Halogen lights?
Oh, well, I can't go anyway.
Pardon?
Well, it's just getting ridiculous. I mean, this year, there is literally a billion kids.
Well, minus the other religions, the super poor you always seem to ignore, and the Jehovah's Witnesses, it's not as bad. Like only 300 million?
There were only 12 disciples when I started. 12! I was in my bed by 11 p.m.
Well, you did sign the contract.
I know. I should have taken the devil's offer. The contract I signed was such bullshit. My new manager, Dave, keeps telling me how screwed I got. I mean, free house? No one mentioned it was at the friggin' North Pole.
Actually, it's in Lapland.
Shut up. And another thing, when is that sleigh going to get central heating? Last year I had to set fire to a pile of Wii U's just to keep warm. Fortunately, no one wanted one.
Well, it's not that bad. Still better than me.
You? What's your problem?
My problem? You know, I have to dress every day like I'm at Gay Pride. I'm forced to sleep in a room with 10 other elves. Do you know how much masturbating I have to listen to on a nightly freaking basis? And do you know when the last time I got a day off was?
No.
Nobody fucking does!
All right, fine. Your life is worse. But there is something crucial you have to understand. I'm more important.
I could kill you, and the other elves would thank me.
Merry Christmas, one and all. I don't believe in Santa or paying taxes. Next up tonight, someone's organizing a party.
Did you get the napkins?
Yes, hon, and the coasters.
And you've tidied our room so people can put their coats there.
Yep.
And you put away the swing, right?
Yes, and the Sibian. Next time, wash it when you're done. I had to chip the crust off. Ugh.
Well, if you will insist on going to your meetings on date night, it's going to get crusty.
You know how important those meetings are to me.
I know, and I want this party to go well for that very reason.
Well, thank you. I appreciate the support, honestly. How does my costume look?
Let me fix your hood. There. Perfect.
Great. Now, you go get the good crucifix out of the garage, and I'll get the gasoline so we can really get this party started.
I've never been to a racist party, but I did once go to the Tory party conference. So I've met some people who definitely have. Next up tonight is another Christmassy one, in case you weren't already full of Christmas indifference.
Mommy, Daddy, why does Santa bring some girls and boys better presents than me?
Well, honey, you see, some kids are just better behaved.
But I've been extra good this year, and I've asked for a bike, and he got me a bike bell.
Maybe you misspelled it.
You wrote it.
Well, there's always next year.
Well, why do some mummy and daddies buy their kids better presents than mine?
Because some mummies and daddies love their kids more.
Oh, I guess that's the same reason some mummies and daddies end up in some really shitty retirement homes.
Ouch! My parents always gave me great presents, as long as I could fit them up my sweater so we could avoid paying. Next up tonight is an interview! Ah.
Good
evening and welcome to Creepy Conversations. I'm Bram Stoker, and tonight I'm interviewing one of the world's most famous serial killers, the infamous Jigsaw Killer, John Kramer.
Good evening, Bram.
So, John, congratulations on being the first ever human interviewed on the Creepy Conversations. That must feel like quite the honor.
Yeah, if you're a pathetic, life-wasting worm.
Right. So tell the listeners a little about yourself.
Well, I used to be a doctor and crossword puzzle enthusiast. Then I got cancer and decided bad people must die, or at least be severely disfigured.
So you're a sort of Walter White character.
Sort of, minus the terrible hat, and my wife is nowhere near that annoying.
So how do you choose your victims?
Well, honestly, I just pick people I don't like the look of, and then I dig up enough crap to rationalize killing them.
So what's the least you've set a puzzle for?
I once set a puzzle for a woman who always took the last Boston cream at my local bakery.
That was worth killing her for?
Ah, I made it easy. She survived, but now she eats her Boston creams through a straw.
And you don't have remorse for your crimes? You believe you have the right to play God?
I'm not playing God. He never gets this hands-on. He's a big-picture guy. That's why he created people like me.
Isn't it more likely the devil created you?
And who created the devil? It's all the same guy. Me, you, Beelzebub, and Trump. All from the same terrifying mind of God.
So do we praise him or what?
Do what you like. I don't even think he cares. I mean, come on, this universe is a toy he has been playing with for 4 billion years. Of course he got bored of us.
Well, on that note, Merry Christmas and see you in the new year for more Creepy Conversation.
I'll have to go watch the Saw movies now. I thought they were films about training injuries. Next up tonight, Elvis and Dolly are back!
Welcome back, Dolly and Elvis.
Howdy, y'all.
Where's Bozo?
You mean Bono?
Yeah, the Walkin' Oakley's advert.
Aw, do you miss him, darling?
No, I left my favorite jumpsuit in his Miata. I've been using my backup ever since. This one doesn't have a pocket for my 8-ball.
You keep a pool ball with you?
The mission?
Right. So we need you to report to Trump Tower to protect the president-elect while he stays there before being inaugurated in January.
Wait, why does the CIA want us to do that?
Yeah, it's almost like they want him to die.
No, don't be silly. Now, Elvis, the top brass has informed me you have an unlimited budget for this mission. Take as much weaponry as your heart desires.
Really? Including C4?
Especially.
Oh, fuck yeah!
Jesus, I'll get some armor.
Wow, I feel so alive right now, protecting the president.
Almost president.
Whatever, I feel jacked, and not just due to the cocaine. Oh man, because of the, you know, pocket problem, I had to hit it up my butt. Probably should have wrapped it first.
Well, just calm the hell down. This might be a quiet shift for all we know.
Whatever. Hey, what about this guy? You know, the one with the towel on his head.
The guy with the tennis racket?
Oh, never mind.
So what do you think he's like?
The tennis player?
Trump.
Oh, he's cool, man. I met him, remember?
No.
I gave him the lobotomy.
I must have been away that week.
Oh, of course. It was me and his Royal Highness Fraggle Rock.
Just admit it. You miss him.
I do not miss that half-robot Catholic corporate sellout who never made a good record in his pathetic little... Oh, why does he hurt me like this?
Oh, come here, sugar. It's okay.
It's different when he's around. I'm finally going to be the smart one.
There.
Your boobs smell nice.
All right, get the hell off me.
I'm fine. Dude, this is so boring.
We've been here for 10 goddamn minutes.
What? Oh, come on.
Why don't you go check the alleys? Do a sweep.
I ain't doing no yard work, bitch.
No, not with a broom, shit for brains. Check for suspicious activity.
Sweep the alley. Why didn't you suck my balls? Hey, what are you doing?
Huh?
Freeze, asshole.
That's president-elect asshole to you.
Oh, my God. Honor to meet you again, future President Trump!
Who the hell are you?
Elvis Presley, king of rock and roll, and now also super sweet CIA spy?
Never heard of you. Do you own any buildings?
Graceland?
Is there much gold in it?
Oh, yeah. Do you know how many rap videos have been shot in there?
Well, then I guess I can acknowledge your existence. Acceptable to meet you.
Yeah, thanks.
So, why are you still here?
Because I'm protecting you.
Your jumpsuit is too tight.
That's a little personal.
Whatever, the truth hurts, but that's why I'm president.
Right, sure.
That's what's going to fix this country, listening to everything I have to say, and now people have no choice but to listen because I'm the goddamn president.
Sir, would you mind holding this while I run away?
Okay, wait, what is it? What the fuck is C4?
White Noise does not advocate the blowing up of Donald Trump. But if you want to egg him, we back you 100%. Next up tonight, people are getting naughty.
Why are you wearing that?
Remember ball gag?
Yeah, the ball gag.
I thought we would try some kink stuff.
Oh, I didn't know you were into that sort of thing.
I wasn't, but I met this guy, Jeff, at the golf club, and he lent me some really interesting DVDs, one of which turned out to be hardcore pornography. It was in the wrong case, and it was French, so I didn't realize there was a mistake for the first hour.
Sure, I'm down. What exactly would you like to do?
Well, there's this thing where people drip wax on each other. That sounds fun. You could do that to me. How about you?
Ooh, I know what would be nice. Me, you, in a building site.
Ooh.
And two other men, preferably black.
I guess that's fair.
You're not gonna chicken out now. I thought we were being adventurous.
No, of course. I wouldn't want to be a stick in the mud.
Great. I'll get the wax and call Tony and Ed from work.
This is the worst birthday ever.
I bet next year he'll ask for a gift card. That's the end of our show. Join us again for more Blind Noise.
White Noise was written and directed by Simon Welton, featuring the voice talent of Caitlin Docking, Nick Rinker, Kenneth Tynan, and Simon Welton.
There you go. That was the White Noise sketch show. I hope you enjoyed that. I forgot to mention it was our Christmas special. It's the last one before Christmas. I hope that...
About as merry as can be. Oh. Yeah,
sorry. It was never going to be a cheerful sketch, was it?
Yeah, but they didn't expect it to be downright irreverently depressing. Oh, no.
But I found it so...
predictable.
I found it quite... That was what made it funny to me.
No, it was good. I was glad...
horrendous.
I was glad to know you could keep it up without Connor and me. A little bit sad, but still.
Yeah, we did, of course, have, for the first time, Nick and Ken acting on the show this week. After we picked them up through doing our live show over the last month, they joined our cast and they were amazing. So we brought them in to do the weekly radio show. And, yeah, I mean... I was pretty impressed with Nick's Trump. That was a good Trump.
Yeah. It's good to get some diversity in the voices there. It was really cool.
Yeah. Especially on the men's side, because we've had lots of different female actors.
Yeah.
And we've had me and Connor and John a long time ago. But right. Yeah. So, yeah. It's pretty cool. All right.
We're shaking things up a bit here at White Noise.
Yeah. All right. We'll play some music. We'll come back and we'll do some chatter. We're going to obviously... So a lot's gone on since we were last on the air.
No kidding.
A shit ton. We didn't really talk last week about anything. We just talked about the show. It's at the live show. So literally we got everything since before the election to cover if we wanted. So we're going to decide during the break what we're going to talk about tonight. So enjoy this in the meantime. First up tonight is something, give it a chance. This will take a moment. But this is New Fries, and this is 90-year-old girl.
We'll be right back.
Right, there you go. That was Brenna Lowry with Waterdeep from, I think the album's called Hungry Ghost, I believe. And before that was Never Betters with Dirty off Bitchin'. And of course, starting out the night was New Fries with 90-Year-Old Girl off Telephone Explosion. I think people are just running out of names for albums.
Yeah, probably.
Just going for anything. Any old word will do. Anyway, but they were great songs. Not knocking the music, just some interesting choice there.
There's got to be infinite combinations of words in the English language, right?
Yeah, but not good ones.
Perhaps. I'm sure there's some good algorithm somewhere. Like, what are some original... I know that those generators online, right? It's like, oh, I'm looking for a medieval name for a baron in my fiction tale. And they've got medieval name generator. Only I go on these things, apparently. But there's got to be an album name one.
Yeah. Probably. But it's like that. It's like that idea of how, oh yes, if you put a bunch of monkeys in a room with typewriters, they'll write Shakespeare eventually. Like, yeah, but no one's actually done that yet. So that sounds right, but the truth is, no, it takes a bit of skill to get the right words in the right order. She's looking at me like I'm crazy.
Well, okay, because, I mean, the idea of the chimps trying to write Shakespeare is like a lot more words than two to get an album. And sometimes even for an album, you can just have one word as your title, right? So... theoretically, it's very simple mathematically to come up with one good or two good words.
Fair dues. I'm not saying it's as hard as Shakespeare. That wasn't quite my point. But
I just don't even think it's in the same playing field. To be honest, it's like the minor leagues, or what are they called? Like Little League against like the... shit, I'm not good at baseball. What's like the
Major
National
League?
Yeah, I guess that's the one.
That was a scintillating analogy there. Well,
yes,
done.
Yes.
Okay, let's move on to our first topic of the night. So the first topic is, you know, as it's nearly Christmas, and of course every year we hear the same rhetoric from both sides of sort of the political spectrum, but obviously saying the opposite, which is that those on the Fox News side, we'll call the right, are always feel that their liberties being encroached on. In their right to celebrate their Christian faith by celebrating the birth of Jesus, by buying lots and lots and lots of shit, and, you know, spending lots of money and having lots of parties and having lots of fun. And I'm sure they go to church and do other stuff as well. And
sometimes.
Mix it up a bit. But I don't, you know, should have a good time. And then on the opposite side, you have people who, yeah, either are speaking out because they're offended or speaking out because they feel other people may be offended by open celebration of religious holidays. And yeah, openly campaign for the not to be nativity scenes, especially, you know, especially when it's connected to government, which makes a lot of sense, of course. That's kind of a no-brainer. But in terms of just the general idea of like companies not being able to put Merry Christmas or things like that, I mean, it's, you know, there may be an obvious answer here. I'm just merely putting this out here. Like, what is the appropriate compromise here that would make everybody happy and would allow us to, yeah, make everyone feel like they get something out of it? What do you think, Sierra?
I don't think there's any real compromise that makes everyone happy. I think, like, in the nature of compromise, it's just creating the least misery possible. But to me, like, I mean, Christmas is definitely, well, not even really, in its root, a religious holiday, because it's definitely based off of the old pagan holiday. What's it called? I can't remember off the top of my head. But,
I don't know. Well, but yeah, I don't
know. Point still, it's not originally a Christian holiday, right? Okay. It was adopted by Christian or Catholic rulers way back, like, thousands of years ago to more easily subjugate the pagan peasants. But it's, like, it's evolved so much in hundreds and thousands of years, and it's no longer purely a religious celebration. Even those who are religious have so many more, like, materialistic or just purely, like, social factors to their holiday celebrations that I don't think it's really, like, it's just about Christmas anymore. And, like, America or the West being predominantly, like, Christian in its culture, like, it's surely... does have a religious backing, but to me, like, it's become more than just the Christians or the Catholics that celebrate Christmas now. Like, all my atheist friends celebrate Christmas, myself included.
Yeah, and I think that's the problem with the argument is that when you are making a good argument, you always define your terms. Mm-hmm. And when we define celebrating Christmas, well, it means something totally different to everybody.
Exactly, yeah.
It really does. And I think that's good, that's fine, and that's totally workable. I think everyone can celebrate it in their own fashion.
Right.
I don't think that you can, in this day and age, I don't think you can say that public schools should have nativity plays and things
like
that.
Yeah, that's a bit weird.
I think you can have a play at Christmas and, you know, do fun things at Christmas that are in the spirit of it, but we don't need religious ideas in it. We could do Greece or do, like, you know... I mean, you could do a Christmas Carol because that's really a play about morality more than anything else. Like, you could do Christmassy sort of things without doing the play of Jesus and get into the spirit and have the idea, you know, the ideas that are good in it without pissing anyone off.
Yeah. I thought, like, my school, like, primary school struck a good balance. Like, I would say most of the kids there, like, celebrated Christmas, but we talked about Hanukkah and Kwanzaa a lot, and we tried to understand the different religions and different holidays, so it wasn't purely just a super Christmas thing. So I think, like, my school did a good job of that, but there are definitely some that are going to have those nativity scenes or be predominantly Christian-backed, I want to say. But, yeah, I think the issue is...
If it's a private school, that's fine.
Yeah.
If you intentionally send your children to a Catholic private school, then you can... Yeah, they can have whatever nativity scene they wish. It's only if it's a public school that it's a problem.
Yeah, and I can imagine for kids who weren't of that religious background, of that particular religion, that it would be quite alienating for them to not have their own, like, holiday celebrated at all in the school system.
What about corporations, though?
I feel like it makes
sense. Like, should you have a Christmas office party? Should you have a happy holiday office party?
Well, yeah, it depends. It's like often, like, Christmas is around when I think a lot of people take their holidays off the office. So, especially in Vancouver, like, the season really winds down for corporate business deals taking place and that sort of thing. So people are more likely to be like, oh, you know, we have this, like, natural break at the end of December,
yeah,
beginning
no,
of January.
Like, business conventions, they just, like, yeah, everything's on hold.
And, like, there are public holidays that are based off of religious holidays because that's been part of the culture for so long. Like, I mean, in Vancouver, we get Christmas Day and off, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and most people aren't going to work on New Year's Eve.
And Easter.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, you're quite right. So, yeah, so you can't, I mean, in some sense, you can't ignore the root of it, but we've gone past that in a sense, and that now it's, you know, it's a non-denominational day off, you know, on a federal level.
Right.
Yeah, but and yeah, that's the beauty of it, is you could say it's whatever you want to you. You could say it's Sierra Day if you feel like it.
Every day is that day for me.
Yeah, you know, I don't think you do need to. But as a corporation, though, mm-hmm. I think you have to be careful.
Yeah, I think you just have it as a holiday party, and that's one of the safer answers that I've heard from a lot of schools or businesses.
Yeah, and I know for the diehards, that might, to them,
feel
be frustrating,
yeah,
or something. But you're at work, and in the workplace, it's not really when you should be sort of expressing whether your, you know, religious and political views. Like, it's meant to be a very neutral environment so that you can work together, in a successful way,
yeah,
without resentment. And, you know, I don't think you should bring either of those into the office or any sort of workplace if possible.
No, yeah. And I mean, we're not a theocracy, so it does make sense to have that separation, I do think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's, you know, I'm sure you are proud of your religion. You may be proud of your religion and mm-hmm. you want to share it with people. And you're well within your right to do so on your own time.
But there are good ways to do it, right? Like, I mean, there are always, like, positive ways you can show someone, like, who you are. And perhaps that's, oh, I made some Christmas cookies, or here are these little, like, Santa Claus gifts. Or, like, maybe you're giving out gifts to your colleagues because, like, to your personal belief, like, that's what Christmas is all about. And it's about generosity, and it's about family and friends and that kind of thing. And that would be totally cool for, I think, for someone who wasn't of that religious background. They'd be like, okay, well, that's really great of you. I don't really care, like, what the religious background is of. As long as they're not, like, using that spirituality to justify judgment and discrimination, which I think it often is nowadays.
Do you think it is used to discriminate against people? I don't think it is. I think people have worried that at least in this argument,
that they're being discriminated against themselves.
Yeah,
perhaps.
Absolutely. Like, the war on Christmas. What does that say to you? What is the sentiment they're trying to create there?
People are just very butthurt and they're just like going on about it.
I mean,
it's
this
bullshit.
Is the thing: nobody's trying to take it away from them. They just don't want it shoved in their own faces.
Yeah,
it's what it comes down to.
Yeah.
And that is a fair point.
Well, there's always going to be a bunch of old fogies complaining about the new world order, like, crushing their own old ways, right?
Yes, you're right. That's so defeated, though, because for every miserable old bastard, I know a very happy old bastard.
Yeah, true.
And so.
No, I'm not saying every old person is a bitter fogey, but I'm just saying that.
You basically did.
No. I said there will always be some people.
Okay.
Especially in the older generation that are more disillusioned with the present state of things.
And there will be in the younger generations too.
Yeah.
Because they're still disillusioned when they get to being old. They don't generally change. Well, some may.
May. Debatable.
Depends how shitty life has been to them.
Yeah. Anyway, well, what do you think the solution is?
I just think that it's sort of like your sexuality. That's your business, and what you do in your own home and your own time is fine. And just don't shove it in anyone else's face. No one should have a problem with it, really. It's your religion. You can do what you want with it.
I just think they should be like...
It's yours. It's no one else's.
They should have just like a short vacation to like Saudi Arabia during Ramadan and like see what it's like to have that shoved in their face so they can understand what it's like to have Christmas shoved in someone else's face.
It's immersion therapy.
I think that could be an interesting way of dealing with racism and xenophobia.
It could be a good documentary, at least.
Yeah.
Just... Yeah,
Simon, you and me, let's make it. I also think school children or university students who come across as particularly way too principled and very much narrow-minded, they should just travel and like maybe have an exchange program.
I don't know, though. It's, you can take what I think traveling is an interesting, it's a good topic to talk about, because you obviously do learn a lot traveling, and I think in some sense it always opens your mind a little bit in some way. You'll find something that you assumed is totally destroyed, and usually for the better. It can be useful, but it's partly down to if you interpret it correctly and if you use it. If you're just getting pissed every night and going out drinking and partying, like you might have a good time, but do you get anything sort of long term profound out of it. You know, it's hard to say.
So perhaps there's something to be said for, like, structured programs that allow for some sort of, like, education or experience or...
Not necessarily. I think I got the most out of traveling by just talking to people who come from very, very different places and sitting down and talking to them.
Myself too, but as you were seeming to suggest, some people might not opt to do that.
Yeah,
they might just go to Ibiza and just party every night. So to them, going to a different country is just very.
But doing the structured thing, like, are you talking more like sort of working structured? Because otherwise, like, going ziplining is not exactly gonna.
No. Maybe like
what do you mean by structured?
Like sometimes there are really good exchange programs at school where you can do like a month long program and like be immersed in this maybe a volunteer organization or another school.
You know what though? I feel like part of being on your own two feet and like working out your own money and trying to work out where to eat and stuff like that, which you wouldn't have to worry about in one of those kind of programs, is part of the experience that's important.
Well,
especially as a younger person, I think it's the first time like it's, you know, sort yourself out a bit.
Okay, well, okay, so to rectify that, I think, like, one of the most helpful travel experiences I had was, like, living with a family from a different country and understanding, even though it was, like, I was in Germany and it was with a family that had spent 10 years in America, so they weren't so dissimilar and so alien from, like, how I live my life, but, like, in being in that different community and, like, trying to get around in a foreign city, like, it was, like, very enlightening, but I wonder if everyone would have that same experience or they would just remain very closed off.
I think it does depend on the person and the personality and their receptiveness and what they want to get out of it. Because some people can travel the world and be the most ignorant bastards possible. I mean,
do you think so?
Look at all the all those famous colonialists out of Britain, like who were just terrible anthropologists who said awful things about the people that they came in contact with because they didn't bother to like take the time to understand what they were seeing and get a like functionalist perspective of different cultures.
I just wish there was a way to like kind of help them along to getting that.
But if you're Cecil Rhodes, I think like you're just a bit of a twat.
That's a shame, he had so much power.
quite. All right, let's play another song. And we'll come back. We'll play a couple of songs. First up, we're going to play Sky Wallace. Not ready for this to start. There we go.
Girl, you are a woman now. Your part.
You fall hard, give yourself a break. I'm not ready for this to start. I'm not ready for this to start. I'm not ready for this to start. Yeah,
swam out, man, in the water. Kept on swimming under, day got hotter. Sun was up and dimmed my eyes. I didn't know how long before I died. But I kept on swimming, I kept on thinking, kept on thinking that I'd reach the shore. Down the water, my apparition, your reflection, and not much more. I swam out in the water, and I swam out so far I couldn't see the shore. I swam out some more, and I swam out some. Swimming, and I kept on thinking, kept on thinking that I'd reach the shore. But down the water, your reflection, my reflection, and so much more. But I kept on swimming, and I kept on thinking, kept on thinking that I'd reach the shore. Downward, my apparition, your reflection, and not much more. And I swam out in the water, I swam out so far I couldn't see the shore.
That was Starlight Pines with Ghost in the Water off Old Jail Road. And before that was Sky Wallace with Not Ready for This to Start off Something Wicked. All right, so this is the White Noise After Show. Our next topic's kind of, we're going to, basically related to the one we were just talking about, which is there a generational difference in the way that we celebrate Christmas or, you know, any of the holidays that are coming up right now? Is that so? Or is it the same? What do you think, Sierra?
It's funny because I proposed this question, and now as I've been thinking about it, I'm like, this is super subjective. It totally depends on the person. I mean, I think I would like to think that there's like a wider likelihood that millennials are going to be a bit more skeptical and a little more secular about the holidays, and perhaps like not quite as consumerist as our parents. But then again, not everyone. But just because I think like in general, we're a little more likely to have less money and to not be in the same like economic position. So you can't just go out and spend hundreds of dollars on each person's present or that kind of thing.
Yeah, I think people are heavily influenced when it comes to the holidays by tradition and what their childhood was. So if their childhood was they went to church on Christmas Eve and did mass or whatever, and they did that every year, even if they don't go to church the rest of the year, people will still do that. Like, I've seen that's something that seems to happen quite a lot.
People are just non-committal. Well, those Christers, just be Catholic or be an atheist.
But there's a comfort in it, in that they like, in that, yeah, it reminds them of their childhood and you know, there's, yeah, I could see that. But yeah, then there's, as you say, though, it's so subjective, and that there's, of course, there'll be people who will buck the trend, because I think a lot of people, generation to generation, are going to edit out the bits they didn't like about their parents' traditions and add their own sort of twists. You know, my parents, I think, definitely did stuff like that. And so, yeah, it's always good. And like all culture, it evolves slowly over time.
Yeah. What I just think will be interesting is to see when like stores and businesses become a little bit more receptive to younger generation marketing trends, because social media is starting to get a little better at marketing to our generation, I would say. But when you go to a real life store, especially like I was just going to Chapters the other Indigo, I guess, to find my sister a gift, and I was like positively inundated with all of this, just like the colors and the music, and it was way over the top, and it made me honestly like not want to be there, not want to spend money on things. And I feel like that's very much like a relic of the past in the way that people used to shop for presents. And I think now we're so much more of an online shopping generation, and I think as companies become more aware of that, and they already are, but not fully, because so many of the people buying gifts are still a lot older and are more likely to go in store. But I just wonder, like, if they're not being as effective because they don't realize that people shop in different ways now.
Well, I think they're trying to cover all their bases, and yeah, if we're not the people that are going to shop in store, then why would they tailor it to us if we're not going there in the first place?
Because they could be missing a huge margin of potential customers.
But not if we're not getting in the shops in the first place. If we're not even going to step in the shops because we don't like them in the first place, they're never going to see us for us to, you know what I mean? Like, to get us even in the door, we need to have different habits, according to you. So therefore, I just think they've written us off.
That's their mistake then.
Well, no, because they think then they're hammering us, as you say, through social media. Like, if you even think about, like, you know, you want to order something, and so you type it into Google, suddenly sponsored ads in Facebook are offering you discounts on, you know, that pair of trainers or whatever it was you were looking for. Yeah.
But I don't know about you, but I've never bought something because of a Facebook ad.
No, but I think you will learn about
plants
things.
Plants a seed.
Yeah, like movies and things like that. If you saw an advert for it, you know, because it wouldn't be that ad perhaps, but you see that ad there, and then you see an ad on the bus, and then you hear an ad on the radio, and then you see an ad in the movie theater, and then by then you're like, oh yeah, I've been hearing about this, and now you're paying attention. But when that moment is, it depends on the person.
But we generate like buzz in a different way. It's much more person to person, and like the power of a personal recommendation.
Well, word of mouth has always been the most powerful seller. Any salesman will tell you that. Like, word of mouth is the way that you build money quickly if you're starting out in any business. Because even when it comes to like big things like movies and TV, why do you go watch a film? Maybe because a critic liked it, but if your friend comes and says that was fucking amazing, you'll go watch it.
Because it's humanized it for you.
And you get on with that person. So you're like, well, if they like it,
exactly,
I'll probably like it. You know, I that's the hardest thing with starting out doing like what we do, is trying to create that confidence in the product and getting people excited about it, because it isn't something that's on the TV, which just gives it this credibility to begin with.
Yeah. trying to get my friends to trust my enjoyment of something. Be like, guys, come to our white noise show. It's so good. I know because I've worked backstage on it. What do you think, though? What do you think are some ways that we're differentiated from our parents or other older generations in the way we celebrate holidays?
I don't know. I don't think we're that much different, all of us. I think a lot of people are quite happy to continue what they like about the way that their parents have.
Do you, though?
Well, like, for my circumstance, I would say, like, my parents, for the most part, just want to have all the family together and have a nice time. And mm-hmm. they're not excessive spenders, but, you know, we get each other good stuff. And we spend time together, we play games and we laugh and we have, you know, have a good food and mm-hmm. everyone mucks in. And yeah, like to me, that's if I had a family, that would be the sort of day I would like to have. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's interesting because there are certain like traditions I can think of, like from when I was a kid, that I would definitely would want to uphold, and other ones that I'd be like, nope, 100%. Like
Christmas
no.
crackers. I don't want it. You got to have Christmas crackers.
Yeah. But like I would, as a kid, I'd always go to Christmas mass, right? That was a thing, but we all hated it. And none of my siblings really wanted to go, but it was kind of nice to be able to come home and be like, oh, okay, now we're going to wait for Santa Claus. Blah, blah, blah. But like there are other things about, oh, having the hot chocolate in the morning and opening presents with the siblings and having a lovely big brunch.
To wait for the to opening the presents and you're like sitting in your pajamas. Ugh. Just getting...
having five siblings who wake up at very different times, and my little sister woke me up at 4 every morning and I'm like, Michaela, please just give me 2 more hours. I don't want to sit in front of the Christmas tree for 4 hours in the morning.
We had to wait some years. They made us wait till we'd had breakfast, which was just the most obnoxious thing.
Torture.
Yeah,
and I feel like the older siblings just lord it over you. They're like, I'm gonna take my sweet time in waking up so you younger fuckers can just wait.
Yeah, bastards.
I know.
All right, that is 10 o'clock. So that is about our time. We'll play one more song on the way out tonight. Thanks for being here, Sierra.
Thank you, Simon. I had a good time.
Yeah, it was good fun. We'll be back in the new year. Probably January the 4th, I believe, is the first Wednesday in the new year, and we'll have a show then.
Let's hope 2017 is a better year than this one.
Yeah, we can't get much worse. All right, so yeah, we'll see you in the new year. Otherwise, have a good holidays and tune in soon.
Merry Christmas.
And happy holidays.
Every time I wonder, every time I see, every time I'm going away from me, and every time I wonder. Every time I see, every time I'm going away, away from me. My dad's in a crash of derby, my mom riding on over Yale Road. My pony's out in the yard, he's gone. Run, run, real, real far on the road, real road. Can you hear clickety-clack of the railway on the track on the road, real road. Every time I wonder, every time I see, every time I'm going away, away from me, and every time I time I see you, time I'm going away, away from me. Every time I wonder. Every time I see, every time I'm going away, away from me, and every time I wonder, every time I see, every time I'm going away. Can you hear that?
Grace is the place and she lives down the block. She was always there, she was always.